And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
What is going on, Buccaneers fans and RBLR family? I am so fired up that you decided to join us today. My name is Musab, one of your co-hosts tonight, and there is absolutely no better place, no better crew, and no better show to talk about Tampa Bay Buccaneers football than the good old RBLR Bucs. Now look, it's officially the offseason. The final nail in the coffin was that Super Bowl this past weekend, and just like that, the NFL football season is on ice until later this year. So this right here, though, the beginning of my least favorite season of the year, and I'm sure many could agree with me, and I'll just say it. It's the season of the interns, all right? I'm not getting into that today, though. I'm staying positive because here's the deal. RBLR does not have an off season, so while the league might go quiet, we don't. And today we're not just doing some basic little league-wide recap. We're going to be talking about what's going on around the league, but also reflecting on our beloved Buccaneers and using this time the right way. Things like what needs to happen, what absolutely cannot happen, what moves put us over the top, what moves set us back. So this is the juicy part of the year, the meat of the offseason, free agency, draft, player movement, all sorts of roster construction going on. The coaching staff is finalized, thankfully. So now it's all about the dudes in the trenches, the skilled players, the depth pieces. Perhaps we get some difference makers this offseason as well. But like every other show, guys, a friendly reminder. Seriously, drop a comment. Tell us how you feel. If you're catching this after the live stream, hit us on social media. Who are you looking at in the draft? Who's your dream free agent? Who do you want back? Who are you ready to move on from? This is your team, too. But before we get rolling, I also want to give a shout-out to the rest of the RBLR crew holding it down, all across our Lightning, our Rowdies, Sun, Rays, and even covering our beloved Tampa Bay College, the University of South Florida. Go Bulls, baby. And if you're not tapped in with everything we've got going on, you're missing out. So seriously, just, wherever you're listening to this, tap in real quick. But enough of me. All right, let's talk Bucks. And when I say let's, not just me and you. I also mean the iconic duo I got going on over here. And, we got a whole squad. This is the kind of chemistry you can't manufacture, folks. So first up, to my right, you already know when I say his name, it comes with energy. Stepping into the building like a fourth quarter blitz. Confidence on 10, analysis locked in, ready to break down everything from cap space to cornerback depth. There's a debate to be had. He's diving in headfirst. Mr. Zach Blaine. How you doing tonight?
Pretty good, brother. How are you doing, my man?
So far, so good. But like I said, now it's, just the off-season blues or whatever. And I guess, we do have the draft that's coming near. So at least there is some, important things to talk about as, we should get and all that. But it's going to suck to not have any, kind of football going on. You know what I'm saying?
Well, we're going to have spring football coming up. At least I think pretty soon. Was it spring football, the developmental league, essentially?
Oh, yeah, the UFL. I gotcha. Yeah, no, totally. I definitely actually have to check that out because I know there's actually a new – I think that's actually indoor, though, the Orlando Pirates.
Yeah, that's an indoor league. That's arena football.
Yeah. But – so, hey, look, the good news for y'all is football is year-round because then after, the UFL – comes along, Friday Night Lights and college and the NFL, and we're back into the action. But you already know, completing this trifecta, as I say, the final puzzle piece of this iconic trio, the steady hand, the field general, the man who keeps this ship sailing, Mr. Carter Brantley. How you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing pretty well. My AC is kind of fucking up, or excuse me, it's kind of messing up.
First one, we are 7 minutes in, Carter. You already used our only F-bomb. Way to go, man.
When you're hot, man, it's hard to, it's hard to not be kind of grumpy. But it's not that bad. It's only like 80, so it could be a lot worse. But yeah, it's kind of messing up. So we'll see. But other than that, it's going real well. USF's playing well. They had the fun little basketball team that we'll get into on the RBLR Bulls show, but excited to talk some football and some NFL stuff with y'all. including some Buck stuff near the end of our episode. We'll hone in on the team specifically. But first, obviously, Musab, as you said, the Super Bowl happened this past weekend, putting an I don't even think you can really call it an exclamation point with the type of game that it was, but putting a period at the end of this NFL season. Yeah, it was a tough showing from New England. It just never really felt like they were very much in it. Drake May was not great, running for his life, and you know, Sam Darnold was fine, you know, good enough to allow that Seahawks defense to sort of guide them. And Kenneth Walker, he had himself quite a game. So it was a fun game in some aspects if you're a Patriots hater like myself, but also as an actual football game, a little bit dreadful because it was never really super competitive. So I wanted to talk about kind of a funny topic, maybe not a fun topic if you're from the Boston or New England area, but who are the worst Super Bowl appearing teams that y'all can think of the past 21st century? And where do the Patriots from this past season sort of rank among them? Because, man, they did not look good throughout the playoffs, really, and they really didn't look good in the actual Super Bowl. But, Zach, I'll throw this question at you first, man. Who are some other awful, atrocious Super Bowl appearing teams from the you can
think of? I think New England's going to take the cake, but really? I know that it might not be everyone's opinion, but I don't think that Broncos team that beat the Panthers, Peyton Manning's what was last year, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
I don't think they were very good either. At least that offense wasn't. It's kind of the same thing that you were dealing with in New England. Really good defense, and your offense was good enough at the time, but then that Denver team was not very good outside of the defense. The defense was great. I'm not taking anything from them, but that offense was atrocious.
Yeah, it's tough because, like, it's kind of like putting the 2002 Bucks on that pedestal in my mind. Because, like, to me, the 02 Bucks and the Legion of Boom and that Broncos defense, those are like the three best teams. And the Baltimore Ravens defense of the early 2000s.
Yeah, and I, like I said, the defense was, as our producer said, legendary. but I think looking at it in, like, terms of 2002, it was a different era of football. Like,
sure.
Compared to now.
Yeah. But I think if anything, for me, that makes the Denver Broncos defense that year even more impressive because it was such a different era.
Yeah, yeah. And yet
that defense was still able to dominate in such a ridiculous fashion that they dragged, like you said, like a kind of just out there just to kind of, you know, catch the snaps, Peyton Manning, to the Super Bowl. So I don't know. I don't know. And the Panthers also had Cam Newton that year, and he won the MVP. And, like, I know Cam Newton's fall off was miraculous and very steep. But that season, man, Cam Newton was the man. He was Superman.
Well, yeah, but that's why I'm not – I thought we were just talking, like, the worst team to play in the Super Bowl, not, like, the Super Bowl as a whole.
Yeah, yeah, I'm also so – yeah, because I feel like my question – oh, yeah, the question – my answer depends on that question as well.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, the worst.
I guess I don't know. I guess I just looked more offensively, sure, at it, and not as a team as a whole. I think, yeah, that's where we're getting.
Yeah, I mostly meant it doesn't have to be the matchup itself. It has individual teams, not necessarily.
Yeah, yeah, and that's why I was saying Denver, not the defense, just their offense.
Right. That's definitely more, yeah,
I meant by that. But if we're going like full team, I think New England is up there. They look pitiful.
Yeah, I think New England is definitely up there. I know the Panthers, when poor old Jake Delhomme, you know, dragged them to the Super Bowl, or maybe they dragged him to the Super Bowl and lost to the Patriots. That was kind of tough too. Yeah, I mean, if you make it to the Super Bowl, this is such a kind of a tongue-in-cheek kind of question, because if a team makes it to the Super Bowl, they're not always, you know, this was a very rare year where, like, it felt like, you know, there were like four or five teams in the NFC that probably could have beaten this Patriots team in that Super Bowl matchup. Yeah. And I don't know how many years you can really say that. So yeah, I don't know.
It was so funny to me to see everyone going, just remember, Tampa beat this Seahawks team 38-35. Let's also not forget that New England beat the dog shit out of us. So like, I just thought it was funny them using the positives of Seattle winning to be like, we beat the shit. We were one of the few teams that beat them. But then looking back at it, we also got dog walked by,
we're also one of the few teams that had one of the like worst, like, post bye week performances, you know, in the whole league. So,
yeah.
It don't matter how you start, how you finish. Yeah.
comical to see people going like, we beat this team. We also lost to what many are calling the worst performing Super Bowl team ever.
Well, that begs the question, Mr. Tariq, where does New England fall amongst your 21st century Super Bowl appearing teams? Are they near the bottom, or who are some other teams that came to mind when you saw this question?
No, to be honest, I think New England's up there as a team, but performance wise, I was going to go like, you know, I kind of took the question differently, and I kind of took it like, you know, who shat the bed the worst, you know, and I was going to go 28-3 Falcons, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because sure. With all that talent, and then just, oh my God.
I mean, I
only see that just because I'm sure like the whole world minus like the area of New England was pissed. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that was also, yeah, that's how I took the question. But
no, there's a bunch of different ways. In fact, if you wanted to just say like worst performances in Super Bowl history, the 0-2 Raiders, like my goodness, the Bucs just blew them out. You know, last year's Kansas City team, the Eagles curb stomped them. I mean, you know, there are teams that, you know, that go out in the Super Bowl and just lay a dud. So yeah, I like taking the question in that area as well, because you know it can be kind of hard to compare different seasons of team quality and all of that stuff. But if you just look at the actual raw game, I think that's also an interesting conversation. That might be an off-season topic. Overall, the Super Bowl, like the biggest margins of victory for teams, like that would be kind of a fun little like listicle, and then just remember some teams type of thing. So, yeah, you know, I think this question could go a lot of different ways. But, yeah, the Patriots definitely ranking near the bottom of a lot of people's minds when talking about, you know, worst Super Bowl appearing teams ever, the Patriots or of the 21st century specifically, because it's hard to, once you get into the 80s and the 70s, it can be kind of difficult. But, yeah, the 21st century, the Patriots are definitely down there. But shifting our focus to the winning team, because the past 2 years, I thought it was really interesting. Like, obviously, this year, Sam Darnold, and last year, Jalen Hurts. No disrespect to either of those guys. Both of those guys, solid starting NFL quarterbacks. But, you know, a lot of the talk around, our producer just brought up the 2008 Arizona Cardinals. I like that. I like that shout out a lot for the worst teams to appear. They lost to the Steelers that year, and that was a bit of a rough one. But anyways, getting back to my question, Sam Darnold and Jalen Hurts being the quarterbacks of Super Bowl teams, how does that kind of change y'all's view of how teams should operate? I know kind of the operating status right now is to take swings at quarterbacks, try to get an elite, you know, Mahomes, Burrow, Jackson, Allen level quarterback. But Musab, does this kind of change your view of how teams should maybe view their rosters moving forward?
Dude, I mean, I really don't know how to answer that specifically, just because it just comes down to what you have. And, you know, it's very hard to see so much amazing talent around someone like Sam Darnold. You had the nasty run game, elite playmakers, and then a defense. I mean, the same thing, you know, you could say about, you know, the Eagles last year as well.
Right.
So that's kind of the case. I mean, I, you know, don't blame teams going for that, you know, that superstar quarterback, but, you know, it's not always needed.
Right.
So, I mean, you just need a guy who can kind of, you know, I guess like a game manager, you know, still get the job done. You don't need someone who's, you know, you don't need a hero. You know what I'm saying? Maybe that's what it is. You don't need a hero anymore to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I guess maybe a better way to phrase that question is, what's easier? Is it easier to build like a sort of really dominant team around maybe a slightly above average quarterback, or is it easier to go find an elite quarterback that elevates the rest of your team? I don't know what, I don't know what the answer to that question
that's
is.
Zach, tough, yeah.
What are your thoughts, Mr. Blaine?
No, I think, sorry, I'm going to try and get this in without the kids screaming downstairs.
Oh, it's all good.
I think that there's two kind of answers to this. I think that it's not as important as most people would think to have a superstar quarterback.
Sure.
But I think that you can build your team two different ways and it still be successful. If you have a guy like Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, just some of the top quarterbacks, you don't need to have as many weapons around them because they make people better playing with them.
Sure.
But if you have a Sam Darnold, a Jalen Hurts, you're going to have to build an elite defense because they're not going to put up 40 points a game. You have to have Stephon Diggs. You have to have – I mean, granted, he didn't really do much in this Super Bowl, but just you have to have those weapons. So you almost, like, have to build a team out around them, whereas with Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen, you don't need to build that team around them. But I think the bigger thing is, like, if you can build a stout defense, I think if we had a competent defensive play caller and a good defense, Baker Mayfield, there's no reason we couldn't win a Super Bowl with Baker as our quarterback.
Sure, right. Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, like Musab said, it sort of depends on what you have. Like, if you're, you know, you can't just – obviously, no team just starts from nothing. You know, you have a roster in place. You have draft pick situations, contracts, and all that. So, I don't know. I thought it was just kind of an interesting maybe thought experiment, I guess, to try to work through kind of, you know, because the Bucs are going to be facing sort of one of these decisions after this season. Like, do they move forward with Baker Mayfield? Do they continue to try to build a good team around him? Or do they take a shot at the draft and try to get one of those elite level quarterbacks and whatnot? I don't know. I don't know the answer to it. I don't know what it'll depend on how the Bucs play this season. Obviously, you know, if they go out and make the playoffs again, then it becomes a lot harder to move on from Baker Mayfield and really detach themselves from that era. Whereas if they don't, they might be able to sort of make more of a clean cut. So I don't know. It's going to be really interesting to see how that sort of progresses and kind of playing into that same question now that we're talking about it. How far away do you think the Bucs are from making it to this point, to winning another Super Bowl? In my mind, they're pretty far. I don't think that they're necessarily super close. You know, I guess they could maybe swing a Max Crosby trade or something like that, and that really puts them in a good conversation because the NFC is going to be in a weird spot again next season. I don't really necessarily see any dominant force emerging or anything, but it's a tough question. So Zach, I'll throw this question right back at you. How far away do you think the Bucs actually are?
We are one competent head coach away from a Super Bowl.
Really? Wow.
No, we're more than a head coach, but Todd Bowles being at the helm, we're not winning a Super Bowl with Todd Bowles at the helm. That's just and if you think we are, you're clinically insane, respectfully. I think you swing a Max Crosby trade or sign Trey Hendrickson, bring in a guy like Devin Lloyd, we could get into specifics, but draft an inside linebacker, draft another corner, and bring in some veteran presence on that defense. I don't think we're as far off as you might think.
Sure.
It sounds like you think we're really far off. I don't think we're that far off. I think if you have a decent offseason and don't extend a $30 million contract to Mike Evans, love him, respect him. He's not been healthy the last 2 years. He's getting up there in age. We've got his replacements in the building already. Don't extend a $10 million contract to Lavonte David. He's not worth that much right now. Again, love and respect him. He showed it this year that he's not up to par with being a starting middle linebacker captain of this team, in my opinion. So if you go out and spend that money on outside guys, we won't. It's not going to happen. But go out and spend that on outside guys. Stop relying on Servacier Dennis to be your coverage guy. And I think that you are not far off from being a actual challenger for at least an NFC championship game.
Okay. I mean, we'll get into some priorities in the second half of the show, but I'll have some follow-up questions for you for that segment because I'd love to get your thoughts on we'll get to that because that's a really good conversation for us to have because I think that's a really good like thought process. But Musab, what are your thoughts on how far away the Bucs are from the Super Bowl? Are you kind of on my end where like, man, I don't see it happening anytime soon? Or are you maybe closer to Zach where maybe you're a little bit more optimistic if they manage to make a lot of changes?
Well, the question is, I guess, for you, let's start off with you, Carter, is, you know, how many years you think? And, you know, well, what is not anytime soon?
It's always so hard to put a number on it because, like,
I know, but
no, for sure. But yeah, I feel you, though. You're trying to get a range because it's easy for me to just say, oh, they're far off and not actually put a number on it. That's lazy. But I'd say probably at least 5 years.
What about you, Zach? Where are you at? I mean, I guess for you, it's just a matter of.
I got a kid crying. My problem is it depends on what we do in the offseason. If we stay pat, 5 years away.
Okay.
At minimum, because we're going to – Todd Bowles and Jason Light will have to get fired before this team is competent. If Jason Light changes up his mentality and signs outside guys, then I think that we're not – I mean, New England was – they won four games last year. They went out, signed outside guys, and brought in – they brought in Vrabel this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Brought in a competent head coach, signed – legitimate players out of free agency, and they went 14-3 this year. Granted, easy ass schedule that played a role in it, but that team played significantly better, and those free agents were a big part of it. So I think it all depends on how we are, if we sign players a year or two away, legitimately. If we don't sign players, minimum 5 years.
Okay. So, yeah, I'm kind of in the middle. I mean, I was thinking, yeah, we're like two solid off seasons away. Just depends on, you know, what we do this off season and how we kind of I don't think, you know, this is not like a rebuilding phase we're in. It's more kind of like, you know, reloading with the right weapons. So in that case, yeah, seeing, you know, how this off season goes, I'm kind of, you know, leaning with Zach on or then I'm kind of leaning both with y'all. Is this going to be, yeah, probably 4 or 5 years or something, but. Fingers crossed we do something. We haven't seen much, you know, with the whole free agency and all that. But we have to make a lot of moves. So it's going to take a little bit of time. I would say, yeah, minimum, you know, two off seasons. Even if we do, you know, do make the right moves. There's only so many right moves I imagine we will make this off season. See what we do with that and then go right from there.
Yeah, it's difficult to predict these kind of things because they really have to hit on draft picks like for the next 2 years pretty hard. And then, yeah, they really have to hit on free agency signings too, right? Like they can't give a Hassan Reddick type of player, you know, $10 million, unfortunately, like that. That just they have to be able to give, you know, obviously sign some guys, but sign the right guys, you know, be able to bring in guys that are actually going to help. It can't be, you know, Anthony Walker and, you know, Deion Jones, that's the other guy. It has to be guys who are actually going to be make the team better, because otherwise you're just signing free agents just to sign free agents, and then you're just, you know, kind of spinning your wheels. So I don't know, we'll see if Jason Light is up to that. He I will say, other than the Brady era, the Bucks have kind of struggled in free agency. They haven't been able to really hit on the right guys, and you know, there have been some great drafts, there have been some bad drafts from Jason Light, and yeah, we'll see what's we'll see if 2026 can provide a good one, because that would be a big boon. And but if you're looking to upgrade your wardrobe, if you're looking at your wardrobe for this offseason and thinking, man, by the time the regular season comes around, I got to have some better options. I'm looking at free agency, the draft. Mm-hmm. No need to look at all that. No need to make it so complicated. Head to shop.rblrsports.com. It's way easier than having to figure out draft prospects or free agency.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you just go there and buy some merch, you know, we'll give your promo code.
Or in that case, sometimes, you know, you look at your closet and you're like, oh man, I'm two solid off seasons away from getting a date. You know what I'm saying? Right. So,
but see,
what you gotta do, go on shop.rvlarsports.com. And
that's right. You could just be one purchase away from a date because you won't have to wait two off seasons. Listen to Mr. Tariq. He's spitting game right now. You got to pick
up. Hey, it's Valentine's Day tomorrow. This is some food for thought.
That's right. That's right. You got V-Day tomorrow for sure. Oh, man. But anyways, we'll give you a promo code. That's Cannons, C-A-N-N-O-N-S. Type it in, get 10% off your entire order. We'd really appreciate it. So Zach, I told you I would follow up with you on this because this was a question that I had for the second half of the episode. Offseason priorities. So you mentioned Trey Hendrickson, Jordan Brooks, or if you want to just put labels on positions, edge rusher, interior linebacker, and maybe bringing in an outside corner. So are there any other names maybe you wanted to throw out there for those positions or any other positions that you think the Bucks would maybe like to address?
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to look at tight end as well. We need a receiving tight end. Kate Otten, while he makes catches, he's not a yards after catch kind of guy. There are two tight ends I really like in free agency, and David Njoku and Isaiah Likely. I like both of them as receivers, not necessarily blocking tight ends, but as receivers. Edge, I mean, you got to look at Trey Hendrickson. Clavion Chaisson actually played really good. I believe he's in New England this year.
Yeah.
And Chaisson will not be super expensive.
Yeah, he will not.
Going to be a little more pricey. We're not going to get him, but Max Crosby is like the ideal fit for me, if I'm being honest with you. I would throw everything at Oakland or Las Vegas for him. We are like 0 for 12 on edge rushers in the Jason Light era. It's not good. He's not good at developing edge guys. So that's probably my number one priority is edge and interior linebacker. Devin Lloyd, I brought his name up. Jordan Brooks is another cheap option, I think. He might be a little more expensive because – or not than Devin Lloyd, but he might be a little more expensive because of the tackle numbers he put up this year. I know that's kind of silly, but he was kind of the heart and soul of that Miami defense.
Yeah.
And I think you've got to look at outside corner with Dean gone and McCollum kind of being ass. Maybe ass is too strong, but he's mid at best. You got to look at outside corner. I really like a couple prospects at the outside spot this year. If you don't trade for Max Crosby and you sign Hendrickson, then maybe that first round pick could be used on an actual outside guy. But that's future episodes.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think the tough part is just like, man, that would all be great, but it is a lot of money, and they have a lot of money tied up with Wirfs and Gadecki and Baker and Godwin, unfortunately.
These structures are a magical thing, brother.
It would be such a myth.
Like I know that it's there, but if they put in the work, you could make – there's this – I don't remember the name of the website thing, but there is a website where you can beat a GM, and there are so many opportunities to – restructure contracts on this team,
right?
And have money. Yes, it's gonna in the future. You might struggle with money again, but if you really feel like you want to win now, like if in 5 years, of course I want us to keep winning, but we can always restructure again in 5 years.
Then that would require the Glazers to pay money, and they didn't.
And that's the issue right there. Yeah. So like. Is it doable? Yes. Is it gonna happen? I mean, if we're being realistic, it's not gonna happen.
Right. And I'm
not screaming for Tampa to sell, but until they do, we're not. The Brady era was the last of the Glazers spending money that we're gonna see until the team sold.
Yeah, and that's sort of where I try to be a little bit more pragmatic, because if you want to pound the sand and scream, "Oh man, the Glazers are so cheap; they never spend any money." Yeah, man, I'm right there with you. It's unfortunately
it's not going to change, and it's been that way for a minute. Like,
yeah,
you can look at what is it, Man U that they own as well.
Yeah, for sure. Super. Yeah.
Same problem.
Right. So I think where I try to meet in the middle maybe is understand that, like, well, Jason Light is dealing with ownership that only is going to commit to things if they have literally the GOAT at quarterback, you know. So if they don't have that, they are pretty much going to just, you know, fingers in the ears, like, la, 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 we don't hear anything about restructures or anything like that. And they're just going to continue kind of to be like, okay with being average. So from there, then you try to work at things and try to work through the draft and try to do things like that. And it's hard, but, you know, when you're hamstrung sometimes.
I think problem with that train of thought, though, and I see your point. That's exactly how they are, and that's what we're going to deal with. The problem is you're not going to get a game changer at pick 15 every year.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I guess, like, yeah, until they move on.
Issues like you have now where you take JTS, you take Logan Hall, and those were towards the end of the draft or the end of the first round, beginning of the second round. But that's your level of player right there. You're not getting a game-changing corner or a game-changing quarterback at pick 15. That's not going to happen.
Right. So then you get into, like, well, should the Bucs just tank, or as I like to call it, throw games, because you want to throw games to lose. Then that's tough too, because then you just end up with Jameis again. You know, like, it's just like,
when your scouting department can't.
Right. Well, when you draft a guy with the issues that Jameis had, it's tough. I don't know what the right answer is. It's hard, but Musab Tariq, we've been kind of talking too long. What are some offseason priorities for you for the Bucks?
I'm kind of right there with Zach. You got to go edge and inside linebacker, I think, are the two big ones. How can you not? Now the thing though is, as much as it excites me to always get to, some new stud from the draft and all that, we really do actually have to, rely on this free agency. And I don't know why I didn't really feel it much in the past, but this year I'm really feeling it. Like, we need some guys who've already proven something. Because, again, the transition from, college to NFL is not always sunshine and rainbows, or it takes a little bit longer. It takes a little bit more time than you'd think when you see someone. So, that being said, yeah, I mean, we got to fix the edge rush position just because it's been super inconsistent. So, on top of that with the linebackers, free agents, that I've seen, N'Kobe Dean or Devin Bush, Aiden Ellis.
Great name.
Yeah. So Quay Walker is another name I saw. What do you say?
I said one of my favorites.
Yeah. So, I'm not going to act like even have like 1% knowledge, like, someone like Josh Kuipo does on the whole cap space, money situation and all that.
Yeah.
That I just hope, some wizard comes in and does his magic or something. But I'll probably say, yeah, I mean, there's still some good names, in the draft. But I also want to mention, and I actually didn't think about this until now, is I don't know what to make of it because he's kind of a rookie, it's his second year. But David Walker, we didn't see anything from David Walker. I don't know. Oh, come on, Zach. How can you hate on a guy who hasn't even shown you nothing, man? Give the kid a chance.
Another small school.
I'm not saying, look, no, to hell with Max Crosby. We got David Walker. We're good. No, I'm just saying,
How many times has this scouting department and team hit on edge guys?
You never know, dude.
You never know. Hey, Max Crosby went to Eastern Michigan.
Yeah. Max Crosby is a different situation because he's in the NFL. I'd never heard of Max Crosby till he was in the NFL.
But that's what we're saying. We never heard of David Walker.
For a team that could develop an outside guy or an edge guy, I'm with it. Tampa has not hit on an edge guy.
I don't know if I'd call the Raiders a team that develops edge guys. They just drafted.
The thing also, I have to say, there's just got to be something that the scout team saw from this guy coming already from a really small program. We're not even talking Buffalo or East Michigan. We're talking FCS, Central Arkansas.
He's going to be cheap in 4 years when he doesn't do anything and his contract's up.
Well, then they let him.
I doubt they calculated it that far, Zach.
Brother. The Glazers are so cheap. Like, I'm telling you, there's nothing that.
No, they are cheap. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I feel where Zach is coming from, because if you're depending on David Walker to be a starting edge guy in the off, if that's your answer to the edge position, then yeah, it's a recipe for failure.
Oh, like, for absolutely. Sure. Mentioned corner. It's just everyone on defense. Honestly, you're not Vita Vea, like. You got to do something better, man. You know what I'm saying? So
I'm telling you, if the Raiders came out and were like, we'll take Antoine Winfield, your first round pick, and something else, I'd in a heartbeat.
Okay, there's still some guys I'll give a little bit of leeway. No. Antoine's one of the boys.
Winfield's not done anything. He's really good.
All right, but here's the thing. They're not taking Antoine Winfield Jr. They're taking 3 first round picks. Like, that's the starting point.
Yeah.
I don't think Antoine.
That's the starting point. No one's giving them 3 first round picks. Nobody.
Yeah. I don't know. They gave 3 first round picks for Parsons. Like, Crosby and Parsons are, they're comparable. They're because Crosby's deal is super team friendly. Like, he's
that's the difference. Crosby didn't need to get paid. Parsons needed to get paid.
So if anything, shouldn't that make him even more expensive for first round picks?
Someone's gonna give 3 first round picks for him. And if they do,
the Packers gave up 3 first round picks for Parsons. That's what I'm saying. Like I don't know.
Yeah, but Parsons has more. It's while I think Crosby is a better player, I think that Parsons is a bigger name. if that, I don't know if that makes sense at all. Like,
in my head, it makes into a,
what I'm saying, but like, as I say it out loud, I'm like, I sound dumb right now.
I get what you're saying, because Parsons theoretically might be like more productive, more explosive, a higher ceiling, maybe.
Exactly. Yeah. There's more.
I get what you're coming from that. Like, I do think Parsons is probably a better edge rusher than Crosby at this point, but even that, the difference is marginal, and it's made up for in the fact that, like you said, Parsons had to get paid. Crosby does not. Crosby's already on a team friendly deal. So that's where I'm coming from, where like, I think it starts at 3 first round picks and then you go from there. Like, I think that's sort of the minimum entry level point where you're like, okay, if you're Vegas, like, you can just hold on to him. Otherwise, you know, like, there's no pressure to trade him, because it's not, you know,
again, 3 first-round picks, you could have them. What are our first-round picks doing for us now?
I feel you, but let's say they go out and they have another stinker of a season, like they miss the playoffs again. Baker Mayfield's a free agent. I don't think they could.
8 games every year.
For sure. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. It's a tough spot to be in, this middle ground sometimes, like where you get, you know, you get that 15th overall pick. You're not going to replace a quarterback with the 15th overall pick. Drew Aller in the third round.
We got Brent in the house.
Hey, I'll be honest with you. There, Taylen Green out of Arkansas interests me more than Drew Aller.
Ooh, wow. Okay. I don't know. We have a short quarterback, and that's the problem with our offense. Hey, man, you know, I don't know. Drew Brees was pretty short, and that Saints offense was pretty darn good. Russell Wilson in his prime, he was pretty darn good.
It's not a height thing. It's talent on the offensive line. We spent a first round pick on a guard that we moved to center, and you saw what happened last year. He played like shit.
Right.
I don't know. This team does not have great success early in the draft. I'm not worried about early picks with this team.
Yeah.
Gems in the third through seventh. I'll give you that. I'm for it.
And that's the thing. Like, the 49ers traded, you know, wasted those first round picks on Trey Lance, and they still managed to churn out quite a bit of talent. So maybe that's the answer. You know, the Rams, they went through their era where they were trading all their first round picks away for, you know, Jalen Ramsey or Von Miller or whatnot. Or Von Miller, they only gave up a third, but Matthew Stafford, that's who I was trying to say. But I don't know. Trading first can be an interesting proposition when you have like your quarterback position pretty settled. I don't know if I find that to be the case with the Bucs. Like, Baker's on that expiring contract this year. I don't know what they do. I don't know what they do moving forward. Cause Brock Purdy is like a once in a lifetime thing. They're not going to find like a hidden gem quarterback at the end of the draft. So they've kind of hitched their
In a lifetime, because I've been alive and I've had it happen twice. So it's
okay, once in a generation then. All right.
No, I genuinely think a guy like Taylen Green, who's got talent, wouldn't benefit from sitting behind someone for a year or two. And that's why I say him in the seventh. I don't know that I'd take a quarterback in the third round right now.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I like Drew Aller.
Yeah, Drew Aller's fine, but he's probably going to get picked a little too early.
Yeah, off of a significant injury, I'm not taking him that early.
Yeah, and maybe that's the proposition for waiting on him, and maybe he does fall because of that injury.
He falls to fourth or fifth, then I'm thinking, okay, I don't hate bringing him in.
Sure. Yeah. He showed enough at Penn State. He had a really good season before. He was getting, obviously, when they made it to the college football playoff, he looked really good. And even before he got hurt this past season, he didn't look too bad. There's definitely something there. I think Drew Aller's a really interesting name, but quarterback's probably a position that we maybe talk about towards the lower end of the priority spectrum for our draft previews. So maybe
how many priorities are we doing this year? Cause I don't think quarterback makes my list.
That's a good point, because we usually do seven, and quarterback might fall off.
It's like eight or nine. I'll give you that. It's close.
We'll have to think it through. You all have to like and subscribe and tune into our next episodes to find that out. But it's definitely an interesting thought. I really like it. I like trying to think out of the box, you know. So Drew Aller, kind of out of the box thinking there, and you know, we'll see. There are going to be a lot of different conversations that we have about the Bucs this offseason for their free agency and for their NFL draft stuff. But before we get into outside stuff, I did want to talk about maybe some pending free agents that they have or that they had on the roster this past year, guys who are most likely going to stay, most likely to leave. I don't know. We can approach this from different angles. Like, we can think from Jason Light's perspective. We can think from our own perspective who we want to stay or we want to leave. Zach, I know you'll probably do that, and that's perfect. That's exactly what we want. So, Zach, who would you want to bring back? Who would you want to let walk in free agency this offseason?
Look, this is going to be
– I know. It's hard, man. You're going to have some hard conversations. You're going to have to say some hard things.
One back?
What's that?
Do I have to bring anyone back?
No, you do not.
I'm gonna get hate for it. No one to me proved themselves this season. Like Levante, I know legend. He's a Tampa Bay legend. He can walk. If I had to pick one, Mike Evans, like, come on back. Out of respect for Evans, I think that he's could still be really good. But I think we've got such a plethora of wide receivers that but we've got so many wide receivers that like I kind of want to see other people get an opportunity.
Sure.
And Mike Evans deserves a ring, another ring. So like I almost for him want him to go to a contender. Unless Tampa comes in and goes, hey, we're gonna sign this guy, this guy, this guy, this is what we're gonna do. I almost want Mike Evans to go to a contender because he deserves it.
Yeah, it is interesting. Musab, I'd love your take on this too, because it seemed like, especially towards the end of the season, that Mike Evans was fed up with a lot of nonsense. You know, not even necessarily offensive stuff. Like, he seemed fed up with the defense. He seemed incredibly frustrated with how they were losing games. So, Musab, what are your thoughts on bringing back Mike Evans? Like, do you think that?
Oh, yeah. I would say, I mean, I would want to, but I wouldn't be surprised or don't blame him if he goes somewhere else. I mean, yeah, no, he's not like. It's not even like he's, you know, like out of respect. It's not like he's even like chasing the ring. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He's got the ring in his pocket. He's just not with the right guys. You know what I'm saying? He's still him. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, he's still that guy. You know what I'm saying? So he's not pulling up, you know, like.
We're not getting – he's not coming in like Julio Jones did in Tampa.
Right. Exactly. So, yeah, he's
– somewhere else.
Yeah, so but other than that, though, kind of with Zach, I mean, Levante David, it's just like, look, man, you know, football or you know, NFL is already so cutthroat, you know, with things like coaches and all that, you know, we gotta, you know, just move on to the next guy or the best guy, you know what I'm saying? So, I guess it's maybe one, maybe works something out. I don't know, I don't care, you know, it's just. It was bad this year. I think we all saw that. But everyone else, I don't know, man. There's something about Zach. I know you're gonna hate this, man, but there's something about
Kate Otten.
Exactly, man. You read my mind. I'm not saying he needs to be TE1, man. But look, he let someone else kind of take care of business. But he still contributed or something. It's just hard for me to like
fumbling balls and tipping them into. Defense is hand.
I know, but it just – I don't know, man.
Here's the thing. If they replaced Kate Otten with a guy like David Njoku or Isaiah Likely, they're not signing an inside linebacker or an edge rusher on in free agency because both those guys are going to make like $10 to $12 million in free agency. Like they're –
restructures, baby. We can get more than that.
I feel you, but that's not happening.
I'm not for that, like, but I doubt that they would go towards that route.
I agree with you. It's not going to happen, but it is possible. Like
it's possible, right? So
the ownership being like, "We did what we could." Bullshit. You didn't sure. Because you could restructure three quarters of this roster and make a ungodly amount of cap room.
Right, and I think that's where I'm trying to. That's what I was kind of saying earlier. I'm trying to come at it from a pragmatic point of view, where like, okay, they're not restructuring anyone. They're probably not going to they're not going to pay a lot of cash for this team because that's not where the Glazers are at right now. And it's horrible. It's awful. I wish it wasn't the case, but that's where they're at right now. So realistically, if you're going to have this amount of cap space, like they are set in the salary cap, then paying Isaiah Likely or David Njoku $10 to $12 million a year, that's not wise. You know, that's not.
Well, okay. That's not so if that's the case, in my mind, you sign David Njoku or Isaiah Likely. I don't think Isaiah Likely gets 10 to 12. He hasn't been a number one. I see your point, and like I do think he's going to get overpaid somewhere.
Yeah, because he's like shown enough to where
exactly. Sign Isaiah Likely. Get me Jacob Rodriguez in round two of the draft. I'd rather have a young inside linebacker than a young tight end.
Okay, that's fair. That's more. Yeah, that I could see. And does Jacob Rodriguez last to the second round? I don't know. He's got. He had that really incredible last season. How the combine
goes, because right now he's projected like third round because of size.
But it feels like one of those guys that could, that could shoot up a little bit.
I've been seeing some good film, like from
he'll impress with his arm.
He's going to shoot up if we can get him second round. That is my, I'll be honest with you. That is my golden child of this draft.
He's great.
If Tampa goes out and gets anyone in this draft, you could draft six offensive linemen and Jacob Rodriguez, and I'd be happy with this draft.
Wow. All right, man. We got to hold you to that then. If they draft Jacob Rodriguez. Jacob Rodriguez
is the only person I care about in this draft this year.
Then that means you can't complain about the rest of the draft if they draft.
And if we get him, I swear to God, guys, I will be the happiest person in the entire world.
I think you have to like wear a Jason Light mask or like a Jason Light T-shirt.
I will, whatever you guys want me to do. I will buy. I still owe your professor a shirt because she never got me her address and stuff to buy.
Miss Tammy.
If we draft Jacob Rodriguez this year, I'm buying two fans T-shirts. So, like,
you heard it first.
Oh, you heard it first.
There you go.
You heard it here, guys.
Well, Zach, I'm glad that someone's got you excited in the draft, because I'm excited for the draft too. I'm excited for us to talk some draft prospects. I will not touch Jacob Rodriguez then. I think Musab, you have to do the same.
Please don't.
We have to let Zach play.
No, Zach, he's all yours.
I appreciate you guys.
We'll talk about some other interior linebackers as well, because hey, even if they don't necessarily get Jacob Rodriguez, there are still some other good players in this draft. Especially at that position, you know, there's a lot of good talent in this draft class. And we'll be talking about all of them. You know, we'll be talking about all the potential guys that, well, maybe not all of them, but a lot of the potential guys that the Bucs could draft this offseason. We'll get into some positions specifically that we want to focus on next episode, sort of the positions that we think that the Bucs should really focus on. So definitely stay tuned in for that. Give us a like or subscribe if you like what you heard. And thank you to my wonderful co-host for making my job incredible easier. We'll also give us a follow on RBLR Bucs or at RBLR Sports. We really appreciate it. But we'll see y'all next. Hey, Brent O'Neill. Thanks, man. Yeah,
shout out, Brent. Thank you for all your comments, man.
Yeah, man.
All right. Well, now Brent is on the list to get a T-shirt if we draft Jacob Rodriguez.
There you go. Brent, you heard it here, man. You're getting a free T-shirt if the Bucs draft Jacob Rodriguez. We really appreciate y'all for tuning in. Appreciate Brent for commenting so much. Hey, don't hate too much on short quarterbacks, man. They're maybe a little better than you think, you know. But
yeah, listen, I am the head of Baker's fan club, so I really
that's right. And keep commenting stuff like that, because you will be put on the show and we'll talk about it. Because there's some validity to it. You know, there's some times where Baker throws a pass and it gets tipped, because that's just how it is being a guy of shorter stature. But does that mean that you abandon it entirely? I don't know. We'll talk about all that and more in the upcoming draft talk. So definitely stay tuned for that. But until then, and as always, go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.